It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of September the 6th, 1925. And he is having this lesson about a text in the book of Philippians, particularly Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 16, and chapter 4 and verse 8. We're in the midst of this study, and we're going to begin in just a moment in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And so you may want to take your Bible and join us in this study. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at our text. The book is Philippians, chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained, or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Jesus Christ. Paul did all this and became conformed unto Christ's death, even in order to know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, if by any means he might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not that he'd already attained, or had already been made perfect. With all Paul's attainments, powers of mind, and inspiration, and excellent character, he had not yet been made perfect, and had not yet been saved in heaven. He still had to buffet his body and keep it under control, and all his fleshly appetites and passions he would master, lest by any means, after he had preached the gospel to others, he should be rejected. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. All preachers and teachers must live today as Paul lived. Paul's life is a wonderful lesson to all preachers, elders, and other Christians. Now the subtitle to this next section of this Sunday school lesson is Paul's One Thing. This is particularly of interest to me because it wasn't long ago I heard a man talking about the preaching of E.A. Elam, and this one thing was one of the sermons that Elam would preach. It is noted not only for its power, but also for its simplicity. The text is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Or rather, 13 and 14, where Paul writes, "Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul's famous declaration, "But the one thing I do," deserves special attention. What was this one thing? Was it to become a great scholar with many glittering degrees to his name? He was a scholar. But this one thing was very much higher than being a great scholar. Was it to become a great preacher in the eyes of men? In the eyes of God, he was a great preacher. But this one thing was not to become a famous preacher or a renowned evangelist. Was it to become a great orator? He was an orator. But the one thing was far more than being an orator. He says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, 1 Corinthians 13:1. One can be an orator and be nothing. Was it to become a great debater? Did he desire to boast of his numerous public discussions? He had discussed before rulers and kings the great cause of Christ, and woe to his antagonist. But this was not it. Was it to become famous through the number of sermons he had preached, addressed, as he delivered places and places he'd held meetings, the number of additions to the church he had made, or the number of persons he had baptized? No. He preached many sermons in many places, including private homes, prison houses, synagogues, shops, courthouses, schoolhouses, in great cities, and had taught publicly and privately both day and night. But his one aim looked beyond all that. He could not have attained unto this one thing without preaching and teaching and doing all he did. But the one thing itself was to reach heaven, to be saved by the grace of God. Hence, he said, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If all preachers, elders, and other teachers of the church would follow after this one thing, there would be no corrupt preachers and teachers, and the church would move forward in wonderful progress. No heart is right in the sight of God which has not this one thing before it. Paul went on to write about being thus minded in Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you're otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you, only whereunto ye have attained, by that same rule, let us walk. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. Who are the perfect? Perfect means full grown, as the margin states in the American Standard Version. And as Paul states in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6, babes in Christ are not full grown and must be fed upon milk. Paul also uses the same figure in Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. He says, I have many things to say unto you, hard of interpretation, seeing ye are dull of understanding. For when by reason of time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need again that some teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk, and not solid food. For every one that partaketh of milk is without experience in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Milk is for babes who are without experience in the word of righteousness, but solid food is for full grown men. Thus must all press unto full growth. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Wherefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of Christ, let us press on unto perfection. Thus minded means to have the same mind which Paul had, and which he describes in verses 7 through 14. All are commanded to cultivate this mind. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, Paul had written, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not being on an equality of God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him, and gave unto him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All are commanded to have the mind of Christ. It is a mind of humility, self-sacrifice, and submission to the will of God, even under crucifixion. This mind must be cultivated until all thoughts and words and deeds have been brought into obedience to Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. And Paul writes, "And if in anything you are otherwise minded, or have not this mind just described, or think too highly of yourselves in the attainment of knowledge and Christian character, or have not learned the full will of God, this God will reveal unto you in the complete revelation of His will." This last seems to be the meaning, since the complete revelation of God's will was not yet in the hands of all congregations. That which they did not know of the will of God would be revealed unto them, so they could know it and obey it. Only whatever God should reveal would not contradict or conflict with what had already been revealed. So they should walk by the same rule in the future as in the past service to God, that is, of hearing and obeying His word, holding fast to the progress already attained. Some were walking as enemies of the cross. We read in verses 17 through 19 of Philippians chapter 3, "Brethren, be ye imitators together of me, and mark them that so walk, even as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is perdition, whose God is the belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." And then in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 8, Paul wrote, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Finally, introduces the conclusion of all Paul taught in the Philippians. This is embraced in the following summary of those things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. All things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3, have not only been revealed now, but must be practiced. All things whatsoever are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, and praiseworthy, as taught by the Lord today, must be practiced in all associations, in dealings, and relationships with men, citizens of any government, neighbors, the employer, the employee, husbands and wives, parents and children, and in reverence and love, all duties to God must be discharged. Whatsoever things are true means not some things which are true, not some part of truth, but all things which are true, speaking the truth at all times, loving the truth always, and whatever is according to truth, open, sincere, nothing hidden. God blesses those who speak truth in their heart, Psalms 15:2, and all who love truth in the inward parts, Psalm 51:6. Whatsoever things are honorable means whatever is grave, as in 1 Timothy 3:8, or in Titus 2:2, and whatever is venerable, that is, worthy of veneration in character. Christians must cultivate and maintain characteristics with common respect and veneration. How different this is from the frivolous and worldly lives and the light and characters of many church members, and even of some teachers and preachers. We're going to continue this. In fact, I think I'm going to repeat some of this in our next class. So make sure you tune in.